It's as if as John is pulled up a chair among some believers, some young Christians and some older Christians and begin to share his heart with them. He's orienting them about life and the family of God. And God desires that His children enjoy being in His family. Wouldn't you agree with that? I believe God wants us to enjoy being a part of the family of God. I believe that. Listen, I don't know about you, but to me, coming to church is fun. I enjoy it. I'm blessed by it. When I can tune in, even when I'm away and I can tune in, I'm helped and my heart rejoices. I'm helped. And I believe God wants us to enjoy being one of His children. And the key to that is the word fellowship that we found in chapter 1. Four times in the chapter, verse 3. Again in verse 6 and down in verse number 7, you find that word fellowship. It literally means a family closeness, a sharing in common. See, you and I, we share some things in common. We have some things that we share together. And they're yours, they're mine, they're ours as the people of God. It involves a closeness of companionship. It's a family word. He's talking about a family fellowship, a deep down togetherness that we can experience and enjoy as a member of the family of God. And listen, God desires to have fellowship with you. God desires that. He created you. He saved you that you might have fellowship with Him. And then that we might have fellowship together as a part of the family of God. You see, any father that is the right kind of father, he wants his children to enjoy fellowship with him. Now, we know that there's some criteria even in that fellowship that has to be met for there to be the right kind of fellowship. But the right kind of father not only wants to have fellowship with his children, but he wants there to be fellowship amongst his children and the enjoyment of his family. And so God wants that not only for us as it relates to him, but also as we relate to one another. And in these verses that I'm going to read to you tonight, beginning in verse 5, God shares with us His formula for fellowship in the family of God. See, if we're going to have fellowship with God and with each other, some criteria is going to have to be met. Look if you would, verse number 5. Notice he said, this then is the message. He said, this is what I'm wanting to share with you from the very outset. This then is the message which we have heard of Him. It's not my message, it's the Lord's message. It's coming your way. And declare unto you that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. There it is. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God's formula for fellowship. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the joy of fellowship. To know, Lord, that You saved us for Yourself. That every child of God has value in Your sight. You don't pick and choose among your children. We all have equal access to You. Lord, You fellowship with us and desire that fellowship, even though You have billions of children. Lord, You fellowship with us as if we're Your only child. And yet, Lord, it's personal, it's intimate, it's real. And Lord, it flows out into the family as not only fellowship with You, but with one another. And I pray You'll teach us tonight about this fellowship. And Lord, that we would experience it and enjoy it in our daily lives. Not just on Sunday, but every day as a member of the family of God. And I'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, God wants us to understand His formula for having fellowship with Him. And the first note, the first truth I want to see in this formula is the reality of this fellowship. Now, I'm going to back up just a little bit and lay some groundwork. Look back, if you would, in verse number 3. We want to lay the groundwork for fellowship. John says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." John had fellowship with the Lord while he was on the earth. It was real. It was living. It was deep. It was close. It was all of those. There was a companionship that he enjoyed on the earth. But now the Lord's back in heaven. For the last 60 years, John said, not only did I fellowship with him while he was here, I'm fellowshipping with him while he's in heaven. It's still just as real and tangible and close and experiential and joy and enjoyable as it was when he was here on the earth. That's what he's saying. And he said, I want to declare it. I want to share it with you. Can I tell you, there's two things every Christian ought to share. Number one, we ought to share with the unbeliever how they can have a relationship with God. Don't you agree that every Christian ought to share Christ with somebody else? We ought to be helping other people to enter in the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Here's the second thing God wants. He said, I want you to share this matter of fellowship as family members. I want you not just to keep it to yourself. I want you to share it with other believers. I want you to help them to have fellowship with God and with us. Because notice what he said. He said, we declare unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. He said, listen, you're an equal member of the family. We want you to have what we have. We want you to enjoy what we enjoy. We want you to have a closeness with God like what we have. John's not saying that he's got a corner on God and he don't want anybody else in on it. No, he wants all the family to get in on it, you know? And that's the way we ought to be as the people of God. And so in the very opening verses of his letter, John's saying that this is a fellowship that I'm experiencing. I want to share it with you, and you can enjoy the same closeness with the Lord and His family that I have, or that we have as the disciples and the people of God. And we've learned, first of all, that it is a horizontal fellowship with the family. Notice what he said, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now, who's the us? Well, that refers to fellow members of the family of God. Now, let me tell you what John's not advocating. He's not advocating the universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. He's not claiming, well, God's everybody's creator, therefore we're all His children, and everybody in the world, regardless of who they are, what they believe, how, you know, any of that, that they belong to the Lord. And friend, that isn't so. That's just not true. Listen, God is not everyone's Father. There was a time when God wasn't my father. And then when His hand reached further down that I could reach up, I entered the family of God and God became my father and I became His child. Isn't that a wonderful truth? He's the Father of the saved. Friend, if you're saved tonight, you're in the family. If you're not saved, God wants you to have a relationship with Him. If you are saved, God wants you to have fellowship with Him. Every born-again believer in Jesus Christ can call God their Father. John 1:12. He says this. He tells us that in John chapter 1 in verse number 12 to those who believe on His name, that He gives them the right, the power to become the sons of God, the daughters of God. We're in the same family. We're members one of another. Let me give you a cross-reference verse to write down in your notes or in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. All right? There is one body and one spirit. Now, I understand that we're not talking about a universal church here. We're talking about the body of Christ. Use Bible terms. The family of God is larger than just Calvary Baptist Church. We are a part of the family of God that meets here. Okay? And so we recognize that this is the visible part of the Lord's body in this geographical location, and we are a body of believers, all right, who are part of that one body. And we have one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith. Folks, we're not just bound together by our Father, we're bound together by what we believe, what we hold dear in the Word of God. You cannot have fellowship apart from this book. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So it's based in, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And then he goes on to say, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, church tonight, we've got many different backgrounds in here, many different cultures, personalities, careers, likes, dislikes. Some people like the Cowboys. Some people dislike the Eagles. I mean, just however you want to look at it. And so there's likes, and that wasn't even fair, all right, because I'm up here, Brother Delp's down there, he doesn't get a shot at it. I'm not even letting him back up here tonight. But anyway, we're just going to keep going. But anyway, you got the, I'm kidding, we got the likes and the dislikes, you know, there's probably, and so we have all of those things. But well, listen, here's what we all have in common, all right, is that we're the part of the family of God. God is our Father. We belong to Him tonight. And listen, it's here that we come together in oneness and fellowship. Let me talk about the wagon wheel. You can use a bicycle wheel, a wagon wheel for some of us that were you know, maybe a little further along in life. And it talks, it sort of gives the idea of the secret of Christian fellowship. Just imagine that every one of God's children that belong to Him are spokes in that wheel, okay? And the Lord Jesus is the hub. Now here's what you're going to notice about spokes in a wheel. All right? The closer they get to the hub, the closer the spokes are to one another. And church, I just want to tell you tonight, the closer every one of us gets to Jesus Christ, the closer that we're going to be together as a church. And that's why when revival takes place in a church, there is a unity and there is a harmony that is unmatched, because people are right with God and therefore they're right with one another. You know what, friend? If we're close to God, we'll be close to each other. So he pictures that it's horizontal in nature. There's a fellowship that we have. There was an American doctor that was traveling in Korea, and he knew just enough of the language to sort of get around. He was at a station stop. An elderly Korean man boarded the train, sat across from the doctor, and soon, you know, this guy was a friendly kind of guy, and it wasn't long. He would just begin speaking to the doctor, pouring out a torrent of words that the doctor had no idea what he was saying. And the doctor replied with one of the few sentences he had memorized, "I do not understand Korean." The old man, he just kept on going. It like it didn't even faze him. And the second time, the doctor smilingly gave him the same reply, "I do not understand Korean." It happened three times. But on that third time, the doctor caught a somewhat familiar word in what this man was talking about. And his doubts vanished when the Korean man pointed at the doctor and he said, "Yesu." Yesu, in a question. And with a smile, the doctor nodded agreement and he pointed at his heart and he said, Yesu, Yesu. And the Korean man was smiling from ear to ear, and he had a large bundle, and out of that he pulled his Korean Bible. He put his finger on a verse, and the doctor, he couldn't read Korean, but he began to look about, you know, seeing what was familiar, noticed about what book it was. It was 1 John, about where the man's finger was, and he sort of come to the conclusion that he had his finger at the verse, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." I just want to tell you, there is a family love that is shed abroad in the heart of every child of God. There is a desire to fellowship with the family. And so we understand the reality is fellowship. It is with one another, but also it's with God. There is a vertical. We talked about this. Now think about it. The God of heaven wants to have fellowship with you and me. God desires to meet with us collectively, corporately, when we gather, like we're gathering tonight, whether here or live stream. The Lord is here and we're meeting with Him. And He wants us to be close to Him and love on Him and enjoy Him while we're in this place. But when we scatter, God doesn't hang around in here waiting on us to come back. No, He departs with us because He lives within us. And therefore, I fellowship with Him collectively with the people of God when we worship Him together. But then when we separate, friend, listen, God still wants me to be close to Him. He still wants me to walk with Him and know Him and be blessed by Him and enjoy Him. To know Him in His Word, commune with Him in prayer, sing to Him in praise, respond to Him in obedience, serve Him in love. God wants to be real in your life and in my life, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. Friend, listen, I don't want a Sunday religion. I want an everyday relationship and fellowship with God. We can experience and enjoy the presence of the Father and the Son. through the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 4 links our enjoyment in the family to the experience of our fellowship with God. In other words, he said, these things write we into that your joy may be full. And then he comes to verse 5 and he talks about in this formula, I need to understand it's real. Friend, listen, if all I have is religion, there's nothing real about it. It's just something that I adhere to. It's just the motions that I go through. And friend, I tell you, you can be saved tonight and just go through the motions and have no real experience with God. And that's exactly what John's talking about right here. There are saved people. They don't talk to God. They don't listen to God. They don't walk with God. They don't enjoy His presence on a daily basis. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine that. Now, I'm not where I ought to be with God. But listen, He's always what He ought to be. And there's times I'm ashamed that my fellowship isn't what it should be. And it's not God's fault, it's mine. And so He comes to the requirements of this fellowship. And He tells us the basis for the fellowship. Look at verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare, there's our word again, unto you. We've heard from Him. This is what He's taught us, and now we're going to share it with you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. I want you to underline the three words, God is light. That is the foundational basis for fellowship with God. This is the starting point. This is baseline. John does not say that God has a light or that God is a light. He said that God is light. Not that He has it, not that He is a light, but that He is light. And what he's saying is, in a very moral way, that God in His very nature and character is light. Now, here's what I want you to jot down if you're taking notes tonight. You're going to find the word light, okay? Now, if I'm talking like where I'm from, it's light. That helps. It's light and light. So everybody here ought to get it. 6 times he uses that word in 1 John. It means righteousness or holiness. He's going to contrast light with darkness. 7 times he's going to use the word darkness in this letter. And darkness always refers in this letter to unrighteousness or sin. He's not talking about daylight and dark in a physical way. He's talking about a moral light and a immoral darkness. Okay? One is righteous, the other is unrighteous. One is holy, the other is sinful. You see what I'm saying? And God said that as Christians, now watch this, okay? Listen, before we were saved, we were totally in the darkness. But when we get saved, we step into the light. Are you following me? And now as a Christian, I can either walk in one of two spheres. I can walk in the sphere of light, or I can walk in the sphere of darkness. And that will determine the level of my fellowship with God. Okay? Now I want you to understand something about darkness in part of my notes tonight. If we don't get done, we'll come back Sunday night and hit it. Look in the book of Genesis. I want you to show you something that I believe is a law of first mention. It was interesting, and I don't even remember where it was at, but my friend, Dr. Ron Comfort, I don't know if it was a personal conversation. I don't know where I remember him talking about this, but he said it. I went back and checked it, and I've never forgot it. I want you to look back in Genesis chapter 1, and creation, okay? And I want you to look at verse number 3. Now, this is physical light and physical darkness that will be a picture or a symbol of moral, of spiritual light and spiritual darkness, okay? Notice what verse 3 said. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light. Now, I want you to catch this, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, do you know there is a great omission in verse number 4? God said that the light was good, but He never said darkness was good. And I've never forgot it. Because I believe in a very spiritual way, God was setting a law of first mention. Isn't it amazing how much sin and wickedness and ungodliness takes place in the cover of darkness. It doesn't mean that God created dark bad. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that darkness is in itself evil in a physical way. But when you make a spiritual application, God said the light was good, but He never said the darkness was good. Then we fast forward to 1 John. And friend, when you and I walk in light, we're walking in goodness. And we're walking in darkness, we're not walking in badness, so to speak. Let's go back to 1 John. Notice the Bible says that God is light. And I want you to watch this next phrase. And in Him is no darkness at all. That's emphatic. He's emphatically underscoring. It's almost as if God is highlighting, underlining, putting asterisks around it. The Holy Spirit's emphatically saying to us, there are no imperfections in our God. He is without blemish in His divine character. He is perfectly righteous and pure. He is absolutely holy. Friend, listen, there were those in John's day who were false teachers like today who taught that God had both increments of good and evil in Him. All right, and if you're involved, if a person is involved in Eastern mystical religions, they believe that there is an equal good and equal bad. This karma mess makes me mad when Christians talk about having good karma and bad karma. Can I just tell you, that's devilish, false religion. That's what it is. Okay? And these false teachers were claiming that both light and darkness came from God. And therefore, if I lived in the darkness, it was okay. I could still have fellowship with God. I could live any way I wanted to and still have fellowship with God. And the Holy Ghost is saying through John, let me just tell you, there is no darkness in our God. He is pure light. He's holy. And friend, you can't attribute any sin or blemish or spot to our God. Are you following me tonight? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Because God is holy tonight, church, if we could ever grasp the holiness of God, He cannot and will not tolerate sin. Habakkuk 1:13, thou art pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. So the question's asked, are y'all with me tonight? How can a holy God fellowship with sinful people? How can He do that? Now understand, I'm not talking about relationship tonight, okay? I understand we're in the righteousness of His dear Son. When God sees me, He doesn't see my sin. He sees Christ. I understand. We're not talking about relationship. We're talking about fellowship. How can God fellowship? All right? You're going to find the answer in verse 7. Look down. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. There it is. The basis for our fellowship with God is walking in light. Now, I got to ask the question, what does it mean to walk in light? When God said that I'm to walk in the light, what does that mean? All right, now notice, if we, did you see that? You're going to find that little word we over 80 times in 1 John. Not you, but we. John's saying us. He's identifying himself with his readers. He's talking about saved people. I've read commentary after commentary that says that this is talking about saved people and those that are in darkness are unsaved people, but that's not what John said. John's talking about we. John's saved. Would you agree? And he identifies himself with his readers, and so he's not talking to lost people, he's talking to Christians, he's talking to saved people. All right? He said, if we walk, all right, that means to order our lives. It's the state of one's behavior, our practice before God and others. It could simply be put this way in this word walk. How we live our lives as Christians in every, not just when I pull on this property on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but I'm talking about when I leave for work on Monday, when I'm at home on Saturday, when I go on vacation, wherever I'm at, 24/7, 365, I am to be walking in light, God says. All right? If we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. God cannot fellowship with darkness. So walking in the light means living in obedience to God's commands. In chapter 2, He's going to expound on this in a greater way. That means I'm not to allow sinful actions and habits and attitudes to dictate and dominate and even lay dormant in my life as a Christian. It is bringing my life into alignment with God's revealed will for our lives. That's why a Christian that does not read their Bible has very little fellowship with God. Because I can't walk in the light if I'm not reading and understanding what the light is. God doesn't want me to just pull it out of thin air. I'm not to conjure and make it up. No, God said, I want you to walk in the light. In His Word, the entrance, now listen to this, the Bible said, the entrance of Thy Word giveth light. Our fellowship with God is commensurate or equal to our obedience to God. An obeying Christian is a fellowshipping Christian. God didn't say a feeling Christian. You can feel as close to God as you want to, but John's getting ready to tell you, if you're walking in darkness, you're just living a lie. That's what he said. It's living in such a way that our attitudes, actions, and habits are pleasing to the Lord. And let me tell you what light does. Are you following me? Light exposes darkness. When I read the Bible, I hear it preached. That's why preaching and being in church or live stream is so important, and to be consistent with it. Okay? Listen, I'm not harping about being in church, watching live stream right now, because that is church. At this time, in this juncture right now, for where we are, tuning in, being present, either way. What I'm trying to say is this: why you harp on that just so you can have some numbers and let the preachers know that in the coming week how many people had on? Absolutely not. I know this, that if you and I are never exposed to the light, we're never going to walk with God and have fellowship with Him like He wants us to. And that light exposes darkness. It reveals what's in our lives. As the light of God's Word exposes sin and disobedience in our lives, or those attitudes and actions and habits that are contrary to His will, we're to confess and forsake them. So I'm listening to preaching, or I'm reading the Word, and God smites my heart. You know what just happened? Conviction? Light exposed darkness. God cast His light on my heart or your heart. Something came to the surface. A bad attitude, a sinful habit, words that are wrong, anger, whatever you want to call it. He brings that to the surface. I see it. God said, don't leave it there. Because if you do, you're walking in darkness. God said, rid your life of it. Confess it. Forsake it. Get it out of your life. And then replace it with what's right. God has what's called replacement theology in a good sense. God never takes something out of our life that He doesn't put something equally better into our lives. God never leaves a vacuum. Can I just say this? The moment we stop responding to the light is when we begin to live again in darkness. You can be saved for 50 years, but the moment you get used to being saved and you quit responding to the light, you just begin to fade into the shadows. And your fellowship with God began to lessen. Because fellowship with God has nothing to do with how long a person's been saved. It has everything to do with how I'm walking in light. Notice the severing of our relationship. Here it comes in verse 6. If we say, that's the profession, that's conditional. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, the Holy Spirit says, and do not the truth. This is the person that claims something true of themselves, that they're in fellowship with God. This is the Christian that says, I'm in fellowship with God, I'm right with God, I'm pleasing to God, but yet they're walking in darkness. They say they have fellowship with God, and that means they've allowed sin or disobedience. They've quit responding to the light. They're allowing something to dictate, dominate, or lie dormant in their life. God said, you can claim all day long, and you can shout to everybody in the world that you have fellowship with Me, but the reality of it is, you don't have fellowship with Me. I'm not telling you you're not my child. I'm not telling you that you're not in relation to me, that you don't belong to my family. But what I am telling you is this, because of your disobedience or because of our resistance to Him or because of our lack of responding to light, we're not in the darkness and we're not walking in fellowship and we're not in tune with our Heavenly Father. That's pretty stout preaching, isn't it? God says that we're deceiving ourselves and other people because we're telling everybody around us we're right with God when in reality we're not. Sin severs our fellowship with God. Nothing will break our fellowship with God quicker than allowing sin to remain unconfessed or continuing to go on in darkness or living a life that's not pleasing to God. You say, preacher, when I do that, what happens? Well, the good news is we don't lose our connection to Him. We don't lose our salvation, but we sure forfeit joy. And we don't lose our place in the family, but we'll lose our enjoyment of being in the family. That's why David, when in his prayer of confession for his sin with Bathsheba, called out to God and he said, restore, in the moment of that confession, said, restore unto me the joy. God, I've been miserable for a year. God, let me have joy again. Prayed for joy. The joy of thy salvation. But not only can that fellowship, you need to be careful. Let's use precise Bible words. We're not talking about relationship, we're talking about fellowship. John said it four times. The word relationship is not used one time in these verses. It can be sustained. Notice the word walk, verse 7. But if we walk, that the tense of that implies ongoing action, the direction of my life. If I'm going to remain in fellowship with God, if you're going to remain fellowship in God, then we must continue walking and responding to the light, removing from our lives that which is displeasing to God, putting out of our lives that dishonors Him, putting into our lives that does honor Him. I'm practicing the truth. I'm walking in righteousness. We're living in obedience to the will of God. When we're doing that, I don't have to feel fellowship. I don't have to feel closeness. God said, if I'm walking in light, I'm in fellowship with Him. That's what He said. See, John's real black and white here. There's no gray area. I was in a service one night. It's one of those very emotional services. And by the way, I'm not against emotional services. I kind of like them. But I can tell you what emotion does that's different from the Holy Spirit. And I saw two people. I'm the pastor. It wasn't in this church, it was in my previous church. I lifted my eyes early on. We'd had a singing group in. And one of the reasons why I'd never have singing most of the time without preaching. And people were, altars flooded with people. And I'm looking up there, and there's a young man and young lady, both profess to be saved, on the altar. They're living together in adultery. And they're weeping and crying on the altar and waving their hand to God. And you know what? Anybody in that congregation that saw that would thought, well, what wonderful Christian couple. I knew them. And you know what God said? God was looking down out of heaven and He said, you're lying to everybody around you and you're lying to yourself because you're living in darkness right now. You're not. They probably felt as close to Jesus as they have felt in forever. But according to 1 John 1, 5, 6, and 7, they're in darkness. I didn't say they weren't saved. Both of them professed to be saved, but they were living in sin and I knew it. I dealt with that. They told me they were going to get right. They hadn't yet. But if they both were truly saved, and I didn't have a reason to doubt that, at that point they were disobedient to the Lord. They weren't in fellowship with God. I don't care how much they shouted. I don't care how many laps they ran around the church. See the black and white of John. John doesn't see any gray areas. He said, you're either in light or you're in darkness, you're in fellowship or you're not. That's what he said. Preacher, does that mean we'll never sin again? I'm going to deal with that, by the way. What happened? What do I do when I sin as a Christian? Or does that mean I'll never do wrong again? No. But it means that the direction of our lives is Godward. I am never sinless. You're never sinless, but we ought to sin less. Wouldn't we all agree with that? God has a way of dealing with our sin as believers so that we can continue in light and our lives on an upward trajectory. We've talked about the basis of fellowship. Let me just quickly close with the blessing of this fellowship. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, now watch these next two words, we have. God said here is the outcome, here is the blessing of the person that walks in light. That means their life is an upward trajectory. They're being obedient to the Word. They're responding to the light. We're talking about Christians here. Listen, unsaved people are not even in these verses. Only saved people. So it's possible to be saved and walk in darkness just like the unsaved do. It is. And when I do that, I'm not in fellowship with God. Okay? But if I walk in the light as He is in the light, we have, here's the outcome, number one, family fellowship. We have fellowship one with another. It's a given that He's already told me in verse 5 and verse 6 that I have fellowship with Him. Because God is light, and if I'm walking in light, then I have fellowship with God. I'm right with God. I'm enjoying fellowship with Him. I'm in fellowship with other members of the family of God or with one another. Now, here's what I want to help us to understand. We can't be right with God and wrong with the family at the same time. That means, young person, listen to the preacher tonight. If you're listening by way of live stream, young person, I want you to listen to the preacher. I want you to tune. If you haven't listened to anything else I've said, I want you to tune in right now. Do you know that if you are saved, every member of the family saved, do you know that there is a greater family relationship inside your immediate family? You say, preacher, what is it? We're all brothers and sisters in the family of God. My son is also my brother. My daughter is also my sister. My wife is also my sister in the Lord. Okay? We're members one of another. So if I'm wrong with her, I can't be right with God. I'm out of fellowship. Young boys and young girls, teenager, you listen to me tonight. If you're saved and you're wrong with your mom and dad, you can't be right with God. You can't be right with God. Don't tell me you're in fellowship with God and you're on the outs with your mom and dad. And you've been disrespecting them, and you've been mistreating them, and you're bitter at them, and you've been lashing out at them. You are not in fellowship with God. You're not. Teenager, you're not. Young adult, you're not. Husband, wife, we're not. Christian, if we're on the outs with another Christian, we're not right with God. We can play games. We can pretend to have fellowship. We can act spiritual. But God said you're walking in darkness. You've not dealt with that. Light has exposed it. You're not dealing with it. And therefore, you're not in fellowship with me like I want you to be. That's pretty powerful preaching, isn't it? Boy, I tell you what, that ought to help us get right with each other. We got so much pride. We got so much pride as Christians that we can't go to a fellow brother or fellow sister and say, listen, I'm sorry I wronged you. I'm sorry I've hurt you. Or we want to harbor something. Don't hinder your fellowship with God by harboring inward disobedience to God or wrong feelings toward other believers. Say, preacher, they're not in this church. It doesn't matter. We disrupt the fellowship of God's church. When we do that, it disrupts our fellowship with God. Fellowship with God and fellowship with the family are two sides of the same coin. They go together. We want to have revival. Let's be right with each other. Let's forgive one another. Let's love each other as family. I don't know about you. My family has issues from time to time. Does your family have issues from time to time? I'm talking about your earthly family. I know I'm preaching a little bit long. Does your family ever have family issues every once in a while? You ever get on the outs in your family? Maybe, you know, get crossways with a brother or sister or something like that, you know, or whatever. You know, sure we do. I mean, not just when we as little kids. We do it as adults too. I know I do. We do that. Okay? Well, guess what? There's times we get crossways with people in the family of God. There's times we're mistreated. There's times we've mistreated others. You know what we need to have is a forgiving heart. And say, you'll never do to me more than what I've done to Jesus Christ. I forgive you. Well, what if they never ask, preacher? It doesn't matter if they ever ask. Well, they don't deserve to be forgiven then. Well, did you deserve to be forgiven? No. God said, be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. They may never come to you and forgive them. But why do I want to harbor something in my heart? Listen to me. Why do I want to harbor something in my heart that's going to hinder my fellowship with God? Why do I want to do that? I'm going to go to the next step. continued cleansing and I'm done. Look at verse 7. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That word cleanseth means to keep on cleansing us. As we walk in the light, sin is exposed, confessed, and cleansed. There is a continual cleansing that's ongoing in our lives. We're going to see that in the next time we look at verse 9. Because see, God said, if I'll deal with the sins that I do know, He'll cleanse the ones I don't know about. You ever had a day you just felt like you did good? I mean, you didn't lose your temper on 52 South. I mean, you just had one of them days, you know. Wasn't crossways with anybody. Didn't beep your horn not one time. Didn't even want to run your buggy into somebody. We use buggies. I know up north y'all call them carts. Buggy, you didn't want to run it into anybody, you know. You ever felt like that? You know, or maybe Walmart, they're, you know, you're going through. And I don't know about you, sometimes I always look both ways and I just go right on out and, you know, you plow in, you know. And you just done good that day. And you get ready to confess and you're thinking, Lord, I really don't have much to confess tonight. I've been so good today. I know you're proud of me as one of your children. And God's saying, you don't know how bad you are. And you know what God's saying? If you'll just deal with what the light exposes, I'll take care of everything else because I want you to have fellowship with me. And I can do that because I've already paid for it. And we're not talking about relationship forgiveness. We're talking about fellowship forgiveness. We're not talking about the penalty of sin. That's already taken care of. We're talking about the pollution, how sin defiles our hearts and hinders our fellowship with God. And there's an ongoing cleansing that takes place in the life of the Christian that maintains our fellowship with the Lord, which in turn produces joy in our lives because the holier we become, the happier we are in the Lord. And that's why Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." We become weak in our lives when we walk in darkness and we drift from the light. And our joy begins to fade. But yet as we draw close to God, joy fills our hearts. And we begin to enjoy the family and our relationship and fellowship with God so much more. So I'm going to ask you the question tonight. How is your fellowship with God? Are you responding to the light? Now, one thing God did not say, He did not say we are light. He said He's light. We can shine as lights, but it's not our light. We're just reflecting His light. You following me? I'm not light. He's light. And I walk in His light. Is there unconfessed sin in your... Has the light exposed something recently and you've not been willing to deal with it? Maybe you need to make an altar right where you are here. Maybe you sense you need to come forward in a moment and give invitation. Maybe you need to make an altar in your living room, wherever you're listening. Is desire of your heart, the direction of your life, the trajectory of your life in the light as He's in the light? Or would you have to say, preacher, I've been walking in darkness. How's your fellowship with other believers? Because as I said earlier, we can't be wrong with them and right with God. God wants us to have fellowship with Him and with others. But we have to follow the formula for fellowship. And we can't create our own formula. I can't do it my way. I have to do it His way because that's where the light's at. You following me? So tonight, church, I just want to ask us, how's our fellowship with God? Because if our fellowship with God's right like spokes in the wheels, we're just going to fall in love with each other all over again. And the people we find hard to love will become easier to love. And the people that rub us the wrong way ain't going to rub us so bad the wrong way. You know why? Because that's my sister, that's my brother. And I love them because they're part of the family of God. We belong together. You see how it works? It just pulls us together as a church. So we have fellowship with Him and with each other, and His joy just flows out of our lives. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. Let's enjoy His family. Let's stand to our feet.